Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to the JT and Looney Podcast,
episode 202.
And we are powered by Bet Online, your number one source for all your summer sports this season: Major League Baseball, golf, the NBA. Down the stretch they come in the NBA playoffs. Can't wait to bet on those. NHL playoffs, too. How about those LA Kings? They've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available for your favorite teams at Bet Online. Latest odds, lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds. They have every sport out there at betonline.ag. You got to check it out. And check out the NFL futures, too. It's always fun to put, you know, $100 down on, you know, the Vikings winning 9 games or less, or 9 games or more, or whatever team you like. The futures are fun. Head to the website today with your cell phone, or get in on the action on your home computer. Bet Online, where the game starts. And now the podcast starts, damn it. That was easy.
Oh, it kind of was easy when you think about it, because I actually had to do some work on my end.
That's right.
I could still see this, and I hope we get the video out to the shock on your face. There's not a level of disgust. I get very disgusted. I take this very personally. I take my Zooms very personally. But you don't have a high level of disgust with me. You have a high level of patience, like my beautiful wife, who you just saw, and my son, which I do not know where he gets that from either. He doesn't get it from me. So welcome to the JT and Looney podcast. How are you, my friend?
Well, good. And as you know, in life, sometimes when any relationship, you have to balance it. And so if you're being impatient, then I have to be calm. And then when it's the other way around, you know, when other people are being impatient, you're a good partner to have around to be calm. So that's the way team, you know, you were a rugby player. I was a football player. It's called teamwork.
Well, I want to get into what happened last night with the Lakers in La La Land. They weren't playing there. They were in Denver, Mile High, where they actually have on the number of the altitude on the jersey, which I hate that, by the way. I think that's stupid.
Really? It teaches the children how far a mile is.
When kids go to a game, they shouldn't be taught anything other than maybe have an underage beer if they can and root
all
for their
right.
team.
I love it. I love it.
Not how high the altitude is. But here's the crux of what's happening. So the Knicks played earlier. It was one of the greatest Knicks wins ever.
Right.
And I'm embarrassed to say that, because they haven't won since the early 70s. And they had the Patrick Ewing years and the Jordan years. And they've had some big wins. And they went to the NBA Finals against the Rockets. And Allen Houston had a big shot in Miami. There's been some great Knick moments. Patrick Ewing with the finger roll. There's been great moments. But for the Knicks to get 8 points in under a minute and have a Reggie Miller-esque performance at Madison Square Garden, that led into what Charles Barkley said was the greatest back-to-back basketball night in TNT history. And Ernie backed it up and said the same thing too. And it was at the expense of your Lakers that had a lead, had an aggressive lead, had to win the game, must win game, steal one in Denver. Walk me through the collapse again of another Darvin Ham-led team that seems like they don't have a coach when they're leading and they're trying to put a game away.
Well, you know, when we don't like coaches, we blame the coach. And then when we do like coaches, we say, well, he's not out there playing. You know, that's how it works with coaches. Although there does seem to be a lot of buzz, and it's being whispered in hushed tones that he's not a good coach. I don't know if I agree with that. You know, they're going through too many coaches with the Lakers. But when you have LeBron James, and he probably knows more than the coaches anyway, I think he's probably the best judge of anybody on the planet whether or not a guy is a good coach. And I will take LeBron James' word for it. Anthony Davis in that fourth quarter was as easy to find as Salman Rushdie, right? What happened? He's one of the best players in the world, unless he's playing the Denver Nuggets, and he scored 0 points in the fourth quarter. Now, is that Darvin Ham's fault? It might be that Anthony Davis scored 0 points in the fourth quarter. He didn't draw up any plays for him. LeBron on the court didn't draw up any action for Anthony Davis. So unfortunately for Anthony Davis, one of the great basketball players on the planet, and you want him on your team, I'm pointing the finger at Anthony Davis more than Darvin Ham or LeBron James chucking up that three, because the other threes were going down and he was too tired to take it to the rack as you wanted him to do, I think.
Yeah, we're going to get into that momentarily, but they were outscored 32 to 20 in the fourth quarter, which means you have to win that game. You cannot give up a 12 differential, especially with LeBron James, either the greatest player of all time, because what he did in this game last night was something Michael Jordan could never do. You like to put together the category of what Michael Jordan can't do, and right. It's based in reality. Because when he was a 38, 39-year-old wizard, he couldn't do what LeBron James did last night. He couldn't play another 2 years, which LeBron will be able to do, and he couldn't play at this level, even though Jordan did miss a game in his last season. But LeBron did enough to win that game, and the fact that Anthony Davis was an absolute no-show, and then Jamal Murray. Look, I knew Jamal Murray was good. He's a champ. We knew he was good. But dare I say, that was very Kobe-esque. He reminded me
of
his body language, the fading away, the step back.
I'm going to keep shooting. I'm a kidney stone. I will not pass. I'm going to keep shooting. Yeah, very Kobe-esque. And I might blame Reggie Miller. Because Murray wasn't playing very well until Reggie Miller pointed out that Murray wasn't playing very well. And then Reggie Miller said, he's just got to keep shooting. And then he must have had Reggie Miller in his head, and he turned into a brilliant basketball player.
Why don't we leave Reggie Miller out of this podcast? Because we could do a whole podcast on Reggie Miller wanting to win a game by three instead of four. His big gaffe that he made early in the playoffs about missing a free throw when you're up three instead of going up four. Reggie has not been at his A game throughout the postseason. But why does Anthony Davis disappear? Why doesn't Anthony Davis immediately, with a new possession, Denver makes a bucket, 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Why doesn't Anthony Davis go to the low block on either side, put his ass on the low block, demand the ball, catch it? Because he doesn't do that. He likes to hang out on the perimeter. And I've been saying this to you for years.
It's driving you nuts.
He's too comfortable on the perimeter. Okay? He's not a two. He's not a three. He thinks he's a four at times. He should play the five, which is center, the way Parrish, Jabbar, Ewing, Olajuwon played it. And he just won't do it.
Well, the last 10 or 15 years with you and I talking together on the radio, which we or into microphones, which we've been doing 20 years now. Happy anniversary. I think that there's one thing that's changed. Maybe it's like us bitching about kids and cell phones, even though we're always have our face in ours as well. But we always had big guys that were down in the paint. And now all these big guys are 25 feet away from where they're supposed to be. And it's getting on our nerves. Including Anthony Davis.
I am fascinated. Joel Embiid, I believe, was 2 of 9. From three. Thank you, Joel Embiid. You gave my Knicks another win. You're 7 foot. You're as tall as a New York skyscraper, and you love shooting threes. Anthony Davis loves to shoot threes. It drives me fucking nuts because it shouldn't be allowed. The coaches are supposed to, you know, Tom Thibodeau has Julius Randle, former Laker. He also loves to take threes.
Yeah, he's fucking good, though. Oh, my God.
He's good, and he at times he hits some threes.
Wish he was still a Laker. Ugh.
But he drives me nuts, too. So let's get back to what happened here as I go back to my Twitter. I was completely sober last night. It was a school night. I have some work to do, so I wasn't having my Modelos and Cervezas as I was watching the game. So let me take it back to a couple of tweets, and I'll tell you what I said here. I said, you've all been tricked into believing a three is a good shot. You've all been hoodwinked. You've all been deceived in the past 10 years that all three-pointers are justified. Welcome to the modern NBA. Steph gets to shoot threes. Just chuck it up no matter what the shot clock says or score, and be 2 of 9 from three tonight. And down the stretch, LeBron took a three. Now, if we go back to the LeBron highlight, the defense fell down in front of him. Fell down. So his defender fell down in front of him. He looked and said, oh, my God, there's no one guarding me. This is a good three. Instead of at 95 all, I believe, in a tie game, of going like a fucking freight train.
14 seconds left, yeah.
14 seconds left to go to the front of the rim. And then I got these guys on Twitter yelling at me. Well, he had a good high. He had a good look. No, it's not a good look. It's a three pointer by a guy who's almost 6'10". That's called a low percentage shot, Tom. If you make it, it's great. You don't shoot that shot at 50%. So it's a low percentage match shot, isn't it?
Yes, it is. However, you know, when guys are feeling it, guys are feeling it. And they were in that game. They were in that game and at that point tied because of LeBron's threes, bringing them back, bringing them back. And with a guy that's as good as he is, well, they begin to feel bulletproof when they're hitting their shot. And look at Murray. He felt bulletproof when he was missing his shots for three quarters. And how'd that work out for them? Good. Because he took another one when he was missing shots and decided to start hitting shots in the fourth quarter and another, and he was hitting them. So LeBron James had no reason to think he would miss. However, I do, with the precious wisdom of 2020 hindsight, the bull in the China shop, as you always put it. Although, did you ever see with Penn and Teller on the show Bullshit where they put a bull in a China shop and he just stood there? Looking around, going, what the fuck am I doing in the China shop? But, you know, that used to happen, by the way, at the Coliseum. They would feed Christians to the lions, but the lions would look it around with 70,000 people there and just sit there and refuse to eat. Nevertheless, take it to the rack when you're that big. And look at how he was, the way he was taking it to the rack earlier and hitting the shots and one. He probably wouldn't have got the call for the and one, but he would have hit the shot.
I just believe that when you're LeBron James, you got to be going towards the rim. They're not going to call a charge. They're going to swallow their whistle.
Yep.
And LeBron was really upset. D'Angelo Russell got hit in the face. There was a no call. LeBron post-game press conference was incredible. And it was very unique to me because we were watching on SportsCenter and LeBron was live. And TNT at that time's in commercials, or TNT's talking to Charles and Shaq and Kenny. And they didn't have it live. So I watched it on SportsCenter and LeBron went after the refs. And went after the fact that they have this video new room in New Jersey, or Secaucus, where they looked at it and they took away what was seemed to be a foul that went in the Lakers' favor. And they reviewed it, and the Lakers lost the review. So LeBron was irate. Anthony Davis was asked, where was he on that last play? And he basically said he made the shot, dropped the mic, and left. So the bigger picture of this podcast with the Lakers is that the Lakers have lost 10 in a row to Denver. 10 in a row. They're not going to win 4 out of 5. Game 1 or game 2 is essential, because if you lose them both, you still haven't lost home court. You still have to go home. But then you got to win 4 out of 5, and the Lakers, Tom, aren't capable of doing that against Jokic and that team. They're just not capable. They can't do it.
Well, you know, the Boston Red Sox fans said that in 2004.
Yeah. They did. Believe me, it haunts me.
When you got to reach back to that, though, you know, it gets done, and it's been done. You know, this is the NBA, and it could be 2-2 next week. And I say that hopefully. It could hopefully be 2-2 next week. They match up. Look, they could beat anybody in the Western Conference except for the Denver Nuggets. The argument was, when do you want the Denver Nuggets? When they're beat up? After having to play to get to the Western Conference Finals like last year, or do you want them first? And some morons argued that you'd want them first. I don't want them first. I want to beat all the other teams and then roll the dice against the Denver Nuggets. This is a team that they play match up against really well, and they lose by 1 point every time, if not 4.
That was that's an inexcusable loss.
Yep.
And that
was the one.
So I'll give you Sky is Falling. What's going to happen now? Darvin Ham's done. I don't think he's a bad coach. My son's a diehard Laker fan. I can't tell you how many times he said, Dad, watch this. The Lakers are up by 6. The other team goes on like a 10-0 run, and he won't call a timeout.
Oh, yeah. And you sent me the videos of your son screaming in the living room. Yeah.
I watch my son. He's like, look, watch this, Dad. He's not going to call a timeout. And a lot of Laker fans don't like Darvin Ham. So he's 100% out. The Lakers don't win a game, or they lose in 5. Darvin Ham's done, just like Frank Vogel, who happened to win a title.
Won a title. He could brush his teeth and spin a basketball on the end of the toothbrush on Stupid Human Tricks on David Letterman. He was great all his life when it came to the DNA of the NBA and the DNA of basketball, he still should be their coach.
So by the time we record our next podcast, I believe that the Lakers will be eliminated. And I believe that'll be the last game LeBron ever plays with the Lakers.
Wow. That's the headline. Don't bury the lead.
He's done. There's no chance. Oklahoma City's really good. Minnesota's really good. The Warriors will reload. It just doesn't seem like LeBron is going to end his career there. And I'm good with that, because if he can't win with Anthony Davis having a borderline MVP year, a borderline, he's in the top five in the MVP. And if he can't win a playoff series, and I don't count the play-in tournament, I count the series, the opening round. If they can't win a game, LeBron's got to get out of there. And then the big elephant in the room is Bronny. Bronny is going to come out. He wants to play in the NBA. So if he gets drafted by Orlando with the last pick of the second round, LeBron's going to go where Bronny is. So LeBron's going to follow Bronny to do the last big thing he's never done. He's going to play with his son for a year. It's going to be a great moment for him, and it won't be with the Lakers. Unless Genie, because Bronny shouldn't get drafted. He's not good enough to get drafted with all the players in the world. They only have two rounds in the NBA, not seven like the NFL. Then Genie just signs him to one of those 12th man on the bench deals and tries to keep LeBron that way. I can't see it any other way, Tom.
Well, and the Lakers are very loyal. The Lakers say, what do you want? The Lakers are run by a family. And you know, Jeannie has the DNA of her dad, loyal, loyal, loyal. And she's not just like that with the players. She's like that with every employee at the Lakers, which I believe is just 90, you know, you'd think of something, you know, like an iconic franchise like that as having a lot of employees, but they don't. I think they have 89 or 90 employees, and that's it. But she's been loyal over the years. There's been people that in all different areas of the Lakers that should have been replaced over the years, and the Lakers don't do it. They keep you. And they try to keep you. With LeBron James, you try to keep him. So I think your scenario of her throwing him a bone and drafting Bronny or signing him to a contract will happen.
Let me ask you this, because you're a diehard Laker fan. For LeBron, the ring-chasing era he was a part of. He's a part of it. So is Durant. Mm-hmm. There's this ring-chasing era. You cannot deny it. They did not ring-chase. Bird, Magic, and Jordan did not ring-chase.
The first time I remember it, it was Karl Malone.
Yeah. So, but follow me here. The three most iconic players of the 80s and are three of the top seven best players ever are Jordan, Bird, and Magic. They didn't ring chase. Now, Barkley did. Barkley ended up in Phoenix. He played in Philadelphia. Phoenix, he played in an NBA final. He played in Houston. You know, Charles, I don't think on purpose went to ring chase. He just either got traded or the contract ended or he signed as a free agent. He didn't ring chase, and he gets into a lot of wars with people about this topic. So LeBron is in the category that there's certain debates he can't win. The big one is he better than Jordan or not? I think he could be. I've kept my mind open on that.
Oh, my God.
But I can't debate the ring chasing thing. And the same thing with Durant. So he's already considered a ring chaser. Why not go to Oklahoma City? And they're really good, but they have no veterans. Chet Holmgren, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, they're young players. Go to OKC. Hell on earth has ever complained and said someone went to Oklahoma City, an outpost in sports, to ring chase? Go there for your fifth ring, because he's not going to get one in Los Angeles. It's over.
And let me defend LeBron James when you call it ring chasing. He was a kid from Akron, Ohio, got drafted by the local team. He wasn't from Cleveland. He was from Akron, which is no great prize in the birth lottery. He played for, he was a local hero, got to play there, and that's really cool. But as a young guy in his 20s, let me see, I can live in Akron or Miami and be a big boy and move away from where mommy lives. That's why I told you he was going to move back in the day. We were on the air when that was happening. And so everybody wants to, anybody of that stature wants to go do their own thing. So was it ring chasing, or was he just growing up and wanted to move to a big city and live and have a boat and live on an island and play for Miami? Everyone loves Miami who's young. So you got to stick up for him for that.
I don't mind him going to Miami or Los Angeles to play for the iconic Lakers, right. But he won two championships in Miami, one with the Lakers, one with Cleveland. He has four. He participated in a lot of more NBA finals than Michael Jordan ever did. He's got more points than Michael Jordan, more rebounds.
And whatever team he went to won the finals.
Yeah, so his legacy is about to be, I think, tied up with the Lakers if the Lakers get swept or lose in five. So I'll live with that. I'm wrong plenty of times, but I don't see a path for the Lakers to come back against Denver, nor do I see a path. I really believe that LeBron's playing his last two games at home in Los Angeles. We'll see how it plays out. NFL draft week. Let's jump in.
Yes. I've got my draft board in front of me.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. I've been doing anchoring the Raiders draft for over 25 years. I'll do that again on Thursday at the Raiders headquarters. I am immersed in this draft. Here's the only hook you need to know. Roger Goodell put it on Thursday night, a standalone night. Thursday night, first round only. That's it. 32 teams, a pick. That's it. Some teams don't have it. Some teams have multiple picks, like the Vikings at 11-23. I can remember that because my birthday is 11-23. Oh. And I think the Vikings are going to look to move up. So this is one of the greatest quarterback drafts we've ever seen on paper.
Sorry, I missed your birthday. It was Thanksgiving. I was busy.
Everyone's busy. Everyone's busy on my birthday. Today's Bobby G's birthday. Everybody seems to be wide open. Everybody gives him 40. Happy birthday. On my birthday, no one remembers because it's Thanksgiving. I digress. So we get into this draft. It's all about the quarterback, and the quarterback will be reached for. These quarterbacks don't deserve to go one to four in a row. That they don't. They don't show up that way. Zach Wilson just got traded yesterday to the Denver Broncos. He went number two overall in the 2021 draft, which wasn't too long ago. So with that being said, number one is a lock to be Caleb Williams. You saw him play at USC. I saw him play at Oklahoma.
He's incredible.
Chicago didn't fuck with him. Chicago could have fucked with him and said, we're not sure. The second they would have done that, he would have said, I'm out. You're screwing with me? I'm out. I'm not playing for the Bears. You never had a quarterback. You're screwing with me. Bears was smart. They said, no, no, no. We want you. Now they're coming to terms.
That's the smart choice. I was there at the Coliseum, his Heisman Trophy winning year, watching him play against Notre Dame. It was like the Favre game when his dad died. Remember the Favre game when his dad died against the Raiders? That's what Caleb Williams looked like out there. It was incredible.
Jaden Daniels should go number two. He won the Heisman Trophy. He had better stats than Lamar Jackson when Lamar Jackson won the Heisman. So go back in the hot tub time machine when Lamar Jackson was taken at the end of the first round. Imagine if you could get Jaden Daniels or Lamar Jackson at number two. Everyone would have done that.
Right.
But the Commanders at number two are playing games with Jaden Daniels. Instead of giving him his own private visit earlier in the week, they invited all the quarterbacks. That didn't go all well. That didn't go over well with the Jaden Daniels camp, who's connected to the Raiders, and Antonio Pierce, who recruited him to Arizona State and gave him his shot to play college football. So I don't know if he goes number two, but the Commanders, Tom, should take him because I think he's also, like Caleb Williams, a generational talent.
A generational talent. He will be a star in Washington, D.C., the way Lamar Jackson is a star in Baltimore. Those are two very black cities. He will be a superstar in Washington, especially if he plays well.
Well, what about the white guy, Drake May? The white guy from North Carolina who looks just like Sam Darnold, another white guy, and another guy on number two because he was projected to be the number two guy.
Right.
Didn't do anything wrong. Didn't get arrested. I didn't see him drag racing on a Dallas freeway. What did he do wrong? So he could go number three to New England, and this is where the draft
He'll
gets
be a
good.
Star in New England. It's very white in New England. He'll be a star in New England.
What happens if New England wants to trade it out of that pick? Because Bill Belichick isn't there for the first time in 20 years. Gerard Mayo, the linebacker now head coach, and Elliot Wolf, the son of current Hall of Famer Ron Wolf. What happens if Elliot Wolf said, you know, we don't want to take a quarterback. We got Jacoby Brissett as a bridge. We're going to trade out of that pick and get more picks. We're going to trade our number three to Denver or the Raiders or whoever, get out of the way and secure more picks. That's when I think the draft is really going to have a moment.
Be great when it does. But you think New England's going to do that moment? You don't have the gravitas to make that move.
You're probably right. I think if New England had Jaden Daniels at three, they'd hit the lottery. But that Drake May at number three, I don't know. I don't know if they're saying that we want Drake May to be the next great quarterback since Tom Brady. If they're not sold on him, they could move out of that pick. At number four is Arizona. So my draft so far, the JT portion of the mock draft goes Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels two, Drake May three, and then at four is Arizona. Now, this is where prime time the draft takes off because Minnesota's got, again, the 11 and 23. They can package those picks, go up to four, and replace Kirk Cousins with J.J. McCarthy. I think that's the first blockbuster trade of the draft. Minnesota goes to four. Arizona trades back to 11. And I think we go four for four at quarterbacks. Most people don't have the ball to say that on a podcast, let alone radio. I'm going four quarterbacks, Tom Looney, first four picks.
You don't think Marvin Harrison Jr., Arizona Cardinals, is on a lot of boards, including Looney's big board? No? I do think that's ballsy. I do think that's ballsy of what you picked. And, you know, and I don't know that they – I think Arizona will go for that.
Yeah, what's interesting is I have a conspiracy theory. You know, I don't believe in those politics in life, but I do in sports. Jim Harbaugh is sitting at five. And he lives in a motorhome on the beach. I don't think too far from Venice. Doesn't want to live in a house. He lives in a motorhome now. And I think Harbaugh wants the first pick in the draft. The first pick in the draft, non-quarterback, is five. And I think Harbaugh is selling J.J. McCarthy, telling everybody he's the guy. He won me a national championship as I was suspended. Best pro days ever seen. He's doing that because he wants Marvin Harrison Jr. at number five.
Okay.
Oh, I got the LA Chargers at five, pulling off the Harbaugh manipulation to move up his quarterback in Michigan, J.J. McCarthy, to four. And Marvin Harrison drops to the Chargers. Justin Herbert and Marvin Harrison for the next 10 years. How's
Good
that going to work out?
Wow. It's going to work out great if they can block for him and if the rest of the guys, and unfortunately, they'll have a better coach. Because in the last couple of coaches, they loaded up on talent on the front end, and they had a lot of free agents. You go to the games, and they give you the roster and the media. Who are these guys? And a lot of free agents and guys who choked away games and coaches that choked away games. But that's not going to happen anymore. And you team Justin Herbert up with Marvin Harrison Jr., and they're going to be winning those games that they used to lose.
Yeah, I look at what's going to happen now. I believe if he's able to pull that off, Harbaugh, if he's able to do that, then he's the smartest guy in the room because he gets an elite player there overall. I think the draft is going to be very unique when it comes to what the Chargers in Arizona do at number four and five. And then
and
after
no matter what they do at four and five, I need to sneak this in. LeBron James is coaching the Chargers. And that is, wherever this coach goes, they win. And they go to championship games. Remember, it was a strike season when he took over the 49ers. He wasn't allowed to talk to his players until August. And they came within a fumble rooski of going to the Super Bowl his first year with the San Francisco 49ers. He takes teams to Super Bowls. He takes teams to national championship games, Coach Harbaugh. And so no matter what they do in the draft, they're going to win 10, 11, 12 games this year.
Okay, so we got a feeling here, and J.J. McCarthy also, there's a lot of Vegas involved with this. Vegas setting the odds that J.J. McCarthy could go to number two also. Ooh. So he can go to number two to Washington. So this J.J. McCarthy hype is real. It's real that he's going up there because he won a national championship. So I give you my first five picks, and I agree with you, it clearly could be Marvin Harrison Jr. to Arizona, but I like a trade spot there. I like the Chargers there. This offensive lineman out of Notre Dame where your brother went, Joe Alt, he's the best tackle by far.
Oh, yeah, And that's why it would be no great loss if Jim Harbaugh's commitment to the running game could make the offensive line a priority in the draft and that Jim Harbaugh would take him. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Giants are at number six. The Giants are a team, the team of my youth that might want to trade up. Also, but I think they take Malik.
So?
I think if they take Neighbors, the elite wide receiver out of LSU there, that clearly gives them an opportunity for Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones has one more year left.
I hate when great wide receivers go to teams that suck.
Yeah,
that could be it. I think Joe Alt will.
I mean, teams with a sucky quarterback anyway.
I think Joe Alt will go to the Titans. The best tackle will be off the board. And then, you know, Roma Dunze, the wide receiver who played at Bishop Gorman, and when my sons went to school there, I think he's going to go 9 to Chicago. So I think Chicago's going to get Caleb Williams at quarterback and Roma Dunze at wide receiver. Holy shit.
I know.
You want to talk about the first play of the season. Caleb Williams rolls right, rolls left. Roma Dunze could be the next, you know, Larry Fitzgerald's wide open. And then the last pick I want us both to be on record with this. It's hit me pretty hard out here in Vegas with Michael Penix Jr., the lefty quarterback from Washington, played a national championship game. That's a guy that people thought would be a second-round pick, second-round grade or high first round. He's going to be a part of this wave of getting the quarterback early. He might be the new quarterback of the Silver and Black.
Ooh.
Raiders are sitting at 13. If they can't get up to get Jaden Daniels, who they want, and it'll require 3 first-round picks. That means the Raiders won't have a draft party for 3 more years, and I get to host that party. I want to have draft picks. I don't want to give up 3 first-rounders. Michael Penix Jr. at 13. I thought maybe 12 to Denver, Tom, but they just made a trade for Zach Wilson. And I think Sean Payton wants to play Zach Wilson and rehab him there. So where do you think Michael Penix Jr. goes, the beautiful deep ball lefty out of the University of Washington?
Well, the guy that organized the entire Raider move from Oakland to Las Vegas, you're responsible for that, just predicted who they're going to take.
Yeah,
how am I going to go against you unless they end up with J.C. Latham, a great offensive tackle out of Alabama, which has been projected by a lot.
Or Fuaga. Remember that name out of Oregon State, who's born to be a Raider. Look, if the Raiders can't trade up to get Jaden Daniels, that's a guy they want. We all know that. Everybody knows the Raiders want Jaden Daniels.
Right.
Jaden Daniels was in the cigar party in the locker room next to Charles Woodson, Jim Plunkett, after they won and put up 63 on the Chargers. Believe me, Jaden Daniels is the player that everyone in the Raider Nation wants. But if it's too expensive, I'm good with an offensive tackle in the first round because that'll solidify their offensive line, which needs help. But I just don't want to pass on Michael Penix Jr., man. The Raiders had a lefty quarterback named Ken Stabler, the Snake. He's a lefty. San Francisco had a lefty named Steve Young, who was great. I'm not saying Penix is going to go to the Hall of Fame, but I just love his deep ball.
If you're doing an all-time team, and you're doing an all-time team, and everybody on the team is 25 years old in their prime at every position from every era, you'd do yourself a great favor by taking Steve Young as your quarterback. I loved watching Steve Young as a quarterback. You know, I have a fetish for my running quarterbacks anyway. I always thought Steve Young was arguably the greatest quarterback ever. And he missed some of his early years by taking the money in the USFL, et cetera. But God, he was right up there with, I mean, if you can get rid of Joe Montana because your backup might be better, who the hell is that backup? Steve Young.
Great way to wrap this up with the NFL draft. Joe Montana, 3rd-round pick. Russell Wilson, 3rd-round pick. Tom Brady, 6th-round pick. Oh, nothing. Brock Purdy, last pick of the 7th round. Okay, Mr. Irrelevant. So there's going to be a run on these first 4 quarterbacks. I took the bait. I'm in on it. I'm all in. I'm going all in Thursday night. 1 to 4 is going to be quarterbacks. 2 of them are going to be very, very good, like Trevor Lawrence good, maybe not Hall of Famous, but very good, not above. And 2 of them are not going to be very good.
It's like Let's Make a Deal when we were kids, which I guess is on again. I don't watch a lot of game shows now. But you're going to get the car or the horse with 3 legs, which Let's Make a Deal. Remember, they'd open it up and it'd be a goat. And but not the greatest of all time, goat. And that's what's always been a little overhyped about the draft, but I don't want to be the Grinch that stole the NFL draft, is you look throughout the entire history of the NFL, the guys that were cut and the guys that were some of the greatest players ever in Hall of Famers, from Johnny Unitas to Kurt Warner, who did not play, end up playing for the first team that took them in the draft, or if they were drafted at all. So that's what's fun about the NFL draft at the quarterback position, because the black swan is behind door number one, door number two, door number three, or door number 32. But you don't know. And you can even see and look and watch how they play. And that's one of the greatest things about the quarterback position in the NFL is it's a poker game. And you don't know which one of those guys can just step right in like Justin Herbert. Step right in accidentally game one because the starter got hurt because somebody stuck a needle in the wrong place. And he was great. First game. Bam. And so they didn't know that. The coaches didn't even know that.
Problem becomes if you don't have a quarterback in the Mahomes era, speaking from Las Vegas, mm-hmm. where you have Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell, both very good quarterbacks. Gardner Minshew can play. He can play. He can win game. If the Raiders had to play a game this Sunday with Max Crosby, Devontae Adams, and Gardner Minshew wouldn't hurt the team. He's okay. Nope. When you're going up against Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes in a division for a decade, you got to get Jaden Daniels. You got to find a way to get a Caleb Williams type player if you ever want to draw them back to the pack. And same thing with the Vikings. The Vikings haven't won in our entire lifetimes, and we've been on the earth a while. They've never won. They had Kirk Cousins, who was very good player like Derek Carr, very good but not elite. Now the Vikings can go, hey, are we going to sit here with Joshua Dobbs type players, or are we going to sit here with a middle of the road guy, or are we going to go get J.J. McCarthy in the hopes that he turns out to be elite, because he had 3 years on the whiteboard with Jim Harbaugh in Michigan. 3 years he went to work, and Jim Harbaugh was waiting for him in the film room. That has to mean something, Tom. Harbaugh's unbelievable.
Yeah, Harbaugh took Colin Kaepernick to the Super Bowl. Yes. So maybe that's the conversations they're having behind the scenes. Is it McCarthy, or is it just, you know, is it just smoke and mirrors because he had a great coach? And a bite might be that. He might be no good. He might have just had a great, he might be just average anyway. But he took them to a national championship and played well because he had Jim Harbaugh as his coach.
Thanks for listening to the entire podcast. We need you to share it. We need you to subscribe. Need you to like it. I got the new YouTube page, JT the Brick YT for YouTube. You can get in there and check out some live streams. Tom's got everything going on in Los Angeles. Anything you want to promote, Tom Lody?
I do want to promote the fact that we only talk sports on this podcast today, and we didn't say, what'd you do this weekend? And so I think some people will be very, very happy about that, including our executive producer, Plexico.
Well, believe me, on our sub podcast, it's going to be about Columbia University and these college protests.
There's so much going on in the world that we could have a great conversations about. We're living in fascinating times, and I had to anchor the news at KABC and talk about you like when it's easy. You and I make this sound easy, but it's not easy. But you like to have those easier days. And when I anchor the news, I also do national during the week. So I had the Trump trial. I had some guy that broke into the mayor's house to the back door, not knowing there were cops out front. And it was like plug in. Okay, I didn't have to look for lead stories. Sometimes you do as a news guy. Oh, what do you think the lead story here is? What's the second story? What's the third story? I didn't have to worry about that yesterday.
Well, I cleanse myself so I don't have to watch porn star trials with former presidents either. Oh, that's Jesus. Not my radar either. Get back to me at the end of that.
Okay.
And life is on. Thanks for listening to the JT and Looney podcast.
Okay, you win the Jerry Coleman Award. Thank you for listening to 38 minutes and 38 seconds of the JT and Looney podcast, powered by Bet Online, where the game starts. And Modelo.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.